You're connected to CMN Network.
KFC, FSO from AC8AC.
Connected to CMN Network.
KFC, FSO, good morning, sir. Good morning.
To the radio a little bit.
Hair Nation.
Is there Skid Row's looking for a new lead singer? How do you replace Sebastian Bach?
That'd be a little rough. Not quite awake, but I'm getting there.
Busy day.
Audition for him. I'm here getting passengers for you. Pretty loud. I don't know. I got to do a DPF on a 3-liter today. Kind of winding down, man. I've had enough. I'm ready to go. Morning. I don't know. I only got a day left. So. It's like being in jail, man. I got two more wake ups.
DPF on a 3-liter, that's like a 2-day job. Last I remember.
Well, I was kind of hoping I could get to this, but it didn't turn out that way.
Yeah, it's not really particularly a job for men of our body type. Can be done. I've done one or two of them. The words that were coming out of my mouth were next level. Way worse than a camshaft on a 5.3, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, for some reason, I think it only pays like 3.9 plus IAG, so I gotta look that up. Thing I don't like about them, other than being packed in that hole, is they're so dang sharp. Everything you touch on it will cut your finger off, you know. But I don't know, it kind of made the kid mad yesterday, I think. Well, I didn't, Doug did, but I had to sit down with him towards the end of the day, you know, and go over scheduling and all that stuff. You know, the 80% of the job that doesn't pay anything that we all got to do. He just doesn't seem to have any interest in learning how to shuffle his workload and make the money and all that stuff. And then he said something to Doug, talked to him about 10 minutes, and we kind of agreed that he's going to fall on his face for a little bit, but he'll recover, I think. But then Doug came back right before quitting time and gave him a work order that he'd asked for approval on a trans last week, and then he left it on the desk, and Doug kind of roughed him up a little bit about paying attention to his workload and knowing what's going on and how you got to keep track of everything. And I don't know, Tyler was pretty irritated when he left. I tried to talk to him about something, and he kind of gave me that crappy attitude, and I was like, you know what, bub, you're on your own at this point. CF8FSO.
Yeah, unfortunately, it seems to tie up most of my job. And, JCP, she just wants to pull the cars in. She doesn't want to pay attention to what's going on with them. So I have to remind her about cars that have been there for 2 or 3 weeks waiting on approval. Turns into a big mess. Of course, pretty much she's the only advisor we have. I mean, Amanda, but yeah, it's a mess. Pretty much Jennifer and Amanda, and we got one guy as a trainee. And of course, Jenny's training him,
golfer. She's pretty much training him to be her golfer, which she's done with the last 4 or 5. Ooh, I dare you to call her Jenny to her face.
Ah, that was always fun.
Yeah, Tyler's got potential. He's a good mechanic. You know, he's the physical part of it. You know, next week he's going to come off a salary and go on to flat rate. And then he doesn't understand this making your schedule work thing. He's going to have some really rough paychecks for the first few weeks. I'm sure Doug will take care of him, but I don't see him grabbing hours. But I don't know. He'll have to figure it out. But, you know, that behind-the-scenes stuff, that's the stuff that makes your money. It's not even the physical work on it now. So. But, you know, it's the writers that, you know, I need batteries for this truck that needed a DPF yesterday, and the writer, of course, he said, well, I didn't sell it yet because I wanted to make sure we were going to fix the problem. Well, sell the batteries. They both failed. I don't know what you need, Bub, you know, so that was a week out, and then I got that EV Equinox with rodent damage on it, and the customer just bought it, so they're going back and forth about who's going to pay for the repair. You know, he's had it for, I don't know, 6,000 miles or something, but, you know, he's kind of going, I'm not paying for that. Well, it's your rodent that did it, you know, and so I got that job done. I'm just waiting to be able to get paid on that. That's the stuff that really screws up your paycheck. Okay, paid up, so ACADC, yeah. I'll learn. But. Every shop's a little different, too. It seems worse. Since we went all computer, it's gotten worse. I guess I would think, because, you know, physical media in your hand, you know where it's at when it's sitting on a computer chip somewhere. It's easy to lose track of it, especially with my disabilities. But, annual dinner tonight for the Motor City Radio Club. We got a little meeting before that tonight. Rose rewrote some stuff for me. Presentation I need to do next month. Hopefully I don't look too silly there. I'm sure you'll get through it. Yeah, I gotta go, I gotta get my hair cut tonight. Last trip to the barber girl. Had dinner with Gary last night, and that was a little tough saying farewell there, but, you know, not goodbye, it's just still later times, but he's 70 years old next month, man. Anyway, it was kind of tough, but. And the radio stuff, I was kind of looking at the radios this morning, the ICOM you recommend, and then some other people recommended the A2710, so I'm going to do a little comparison between the two today, although it does look like the ICOM is easier to use. So. Anyway, I'm at the establishment, so I got to go make it look like I'm doing something. So. Good to hear from you this morning. My final KF8 SSO73.
Yep, I'm here as well. Yeah, I was never one for giving presentations. I was always the person in the back of the room throwing pencils at the people doing the presentations. But here we go. Learning something new, I suppose. Well, we'll catch you soon, sir. Have yourself a wonderful day. KF8 FSO from AC8AC73.
You're connected to CMN Network.
K-E-H-W-O-J. Hey, Dakota, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm all right. I'm fishing this for the team. I'm ready for spring.
Yeah, well, I'm right there with you there. I've been ready for spring since December. when I was young and healthy, I used to enjoy the winter, but ice fishing and all that kind of stuff. But anymore, it's just such a big pain in the butt.
Bad when it's snowy and there's things to do outside, but when it gets like this, it's just like, ugh, what am I going to do? Walk around in the mud? I didn't mind January. January was actually one of the better winter months I've experienced in a long time. It's up to you. White snow stuff, instead of just garbage and rain.
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder if they're getting the same weather up north there and if it's messing up all the snowmobile trails. There's a lot of towns, little towns and big towns that count on that snowmobile money.
I'm sure. I mean, Michigan's a big state, but it's not that big to where I don't think they're going to feel some of this heat. It's mostly heat because it's going to be 60 in February. You know, I got a couple buddies that were always telling me to get a sled, you know, it's so much fun. I'm like, dude, I'm not spending $12,000-$15,000 on a sled that I'm going to ride once every 3 years.
Yeah, an old friend of mine that I've known most of my life there moved up to Calcasa there, and he got one too. And I think he had it maybe 3 winters or something like that. But they, once every other weekend or something like that, there's 4 or 5 of them get together and ride trails and do this bar tour kind of thing, you know. Ride 10-15 miles and hit a bar, and then another 10-15 miles, hit another bar, make a big circle back to home. But apparently that got old pretty quickly, got rid of the snowmobile and the trailer.
My in-laws have a place up in Mantelona and do the same thing. They don't do the bar hopping, but they jump on the trails and go ride when they can. But it's like, you know, I mean, they have the place up north, so that's a commitment in itself, right? It's not like they're loading up a trailer, staying in a hotel to go do this. But it's like, you know, anytime there's good snow, you know where they're at. They're out of town because they got to go use their toys. And it's like, man, I don't want to do that where I've got to drop whatever I'm doing to go justify my hobby. Because like everything else we enjoy, it's a pay-to-play sport.
Yep, I agree. But there were some good times here where I'd be up there in the wintertime kind of thing, and he'd say, well, let's take the sled, go over to Houghton Lake and do some fishing, you know. All right, so we'd hop on there and load the sled up and go flying across Houghton Lake at 60 mile an hour kind of thing. It was kind of fun.
If someone donated a sled to me, I'd be all for it. It's just tough for me to pony up that kind of money. Then you got to store it for 10 months a year.
Yeah, I heard too many nightmare stories of guys just zipping around all over the place and getting off of marked trails kind of thing and ending up in big, deep trouble, hooked up in a barbed wire fence and getting hit in the neck with tree limbs and different kind of stuff and, kind of ruining their day kind of thing. So if we weren't out on the lake kind of thing, I wasn't too crazy about riding them.
I get what you mean. I would rather be out on an open, knowing there's open lake, knowing there's absolutely nothing out there. But then you got the whole gamble of is the ice thick enough, which I'm sure if you're ice fishing, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, the only thing you got to worry about there is the shanty holes. Some guys cut some big shanty holes, and if they have to move their shanty and it's still open water, you come flying across there because there's no shanty in the way. You're liable to get quite the surprise.
I can't imagine what that looks like with one of your skis bearing into that. You're just going head over bars. Sounds like you're going to lose your sled.
Yeah, I never did it on the sled, but I did it walking. We had a big windstorm one time on Lakeville Lake, and it was just blowing shanties all over the place. They were busting apart and fishing tackle all over the lake. And we got the bright idea to go out there and start collecting all the fishing tackle there. And I was walking along looking for tackle kind of thing, and the wind had blown the snow over a shanty hole. And I took a step, and I went waist deep into the lake kind of thing. Luckily, my arm was caught, and it kept me from going all the way under. But I had to walk home about 3 miles, so that was quite the chilly trip.
Sounds like a bad day of fishing. You know, I used to kayak fish Lakeville all the time with my wife before we had kids. We'd go out there constantly. We couldn't catch crap. I don't know why. I've heard stories of there's giant fish out there. I've caught a couple, you know, throughout the years, screwing around off the back of a wakeboarding boat, but I've never, ever had any luck fishing at Lakeville.
Yeah, I kind of grew up over there, junior high and high school and that, and a little bit afterward, and I used to fish it all the time, but there's a place called Stumpy Cove, which usually held a lot of fish. There's quite a few places that held some good fish in there. But I was in a fish at a bass tournament on Lakeville Lake one time, and we were in the back end of Stumpy Cove there kind of thing. And I saw the biggest northern I ever seen in my life, and he was chasing around my little dinky beetle skin. I gave up on the tournament and was trying to catch this pike, because all my life I've been wanting a 4 or 5 foot long northern.
You know where I've caught some really good pike is this, what the hell is that lake called? Is it Lake George? Might be Lake George. Off of Lake George in Leonard.
Oh yeah, there's quite a few tiny little private lakes around that area. It makes you think you're way out, there's no houses on them. There's some real good fishing in there.
Yeah, it's another hot spot I used to go. I'd bring a stand-up kayak and go out there for a couple hours and have a good time, rip a bunch of top waters on the lily pads and catch a bunch of largemouth. I miss that stuff.
Yeah, we used to have a lot of fun out there. You know, being young, we always wanted to bait fish kind of thing, so the northerns are scrappy. They hit about anything you throw in the water kind of thing, so you didn't have to work too hard for them. But, man, there was some monster gills in there, bluegills. We caught a mess of them one day and took them over to a few ponds and stacked the ponds with them. And 10, 15 years later, them ponds were just filled with gigantic bluegills.
Yeah, I used to catch pike on spinnerbaits a lot. Very seldom would I grab them on a worm or anything, any plastic. It was always some kind of moving bait that they wanted.
Yeah, I was a big spinner fan too, mostly MEP spinners. And some spoons every now and then, but it seemed like the thumping of the spinners just kind of brought them in there. You had no problem. And, you know, you'd get if it wasn't a gigantic spinner, you'd get bass hitting on there, and sometimes big bluegill.
I still have all my tackle, except I sold all my bait casters, and that makes me want to put together another one just to have. I still got access to a bunch of places. Just finding the time to go do this crap's hard.
Well, Stan, you got me curious. When you were fishing Lakeville and Lake George there, where did you live? Did you live in that area?
So my grandparents lived off of Lake George. Spent tons of time there, but that was before I was younger. My grandpa passed away 2017, I think. And I wasn't really a big fisherman at that point. I was still in college and, you know, just living life up in Big Rapids. But grew up at 34 in Fisher. And very familiar with the area. And then my wife and I moved in together, got an apartment at 26 in Hayes. That lasted about 9 months before we were miserable, went and bought our first house in Armada. So I did majority of my fishing out of that house, and then have not touched any rods or reels since we moved to this new house in Elmont.
Oh, okay, 34 in Fisher. I was on 34 in Texter, almost to Rochester Road there where 34 ended. Only on that end, it was called Mack Road. But yeah, I tell you, we spent a lot of years growing up there, hunting and fishing around there. It was a nice area. Now it's packed. Houses everywhere.
I just texted you a link to a YouTube video I made of the last kayak I had. It was all rigged out with a trolling motor and all that crap. I love that thing. I go on a lake for half the day, just bring a cooler with some food and some drinks, and I spend the majority of the day out there on that thing.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I was the same way. I get the bug, and sometimes even before school, I'd get up at the crack of dawn out there and head over to a buddy's house and borrow his boat, little rowboat kind of thing, row over to Stumpy Cove, do a little bit of fishing, and I'd start seeing the school buses going around the curves and around Lakeville there. I'd, well, time to get out of here, so I had to row back there and head off to school. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, 34 in Texter, I had a buddy that lived right there in elementary school. God, where the hell? No, was it Texter? It might have been Texter. I don't know if you know the Buchanans.
Yeah, boy, that sounds familiar. Texter just ran from Mack to Frick. It was about a mile and a half long road there. When we moved out there was only four houses on the east side of the road. And then we bought 20 acres there and built a place on the west side of the road there. So there wasn't very many people on there, in the area there. But I went back there not too long ago, and man, there's just houses everywhere.
Yeah, it's sad to see. I grew up there my whole life, literally from one until I moved out. Well, I moved out of the house at 17, but, you know, I've been going back there forever. My parents still live in the same house I grew up in. And I had 190 acres across the street that I used to hunt. And then it butted up to four proving grounds off 34. So just some of the best hunting I've ever had, like, you name it, it was out there. There were turkeys, there was small game, there were coyotes, there were groundhogs galore. Obviously tons of whiteies, and it all just sold in the last 5 years. Now I go over there and you should see it looks like a subdivision. All that property is now parceled out into 2 5 or 10 acre lots, and people are building these ridiculously huge houses on them. It's like, man, how sad to see that property turn into that.
Yeah, exactly. Nice kayak, by the way. Nice fishing kayak. That's really something. And, yeah, my old man did the same thing. We had the 20 acres there, and I was gone, and my sister was gone, and my mom and dad split up. She was gone, so he was there by himself. And he ended up cutting it up into, I can't remember, a couple of acre chunks or something like that, and putting a road down through the middle of it. And, there's probably 6 or 8 big houses on there now.
That's just the way it is. I'm sure the farmer that used to own my property, who I unfortunately still live next to, I know he's not happy that my house is there. My house is no mansion, I can tell you that. It's a 1,700 square foot ranch on 2 1/4 acres, and he hates every second of it, but shouldn't have sold it.
Yeah, exactly. If you can put it up for sale, you got to expect that kind of thing. If you want to protect it, you got to protect it. This is common sense kind of thing. But, I'm sure he'll get over it sooner or later. He seems to be a pretty nice guy, so I'm sure he'll warm up sooner or later, hopefully, but I don't know, a lot of people are just plain sour.
Oh, he's a sour. He's threatened to take me to court multiple times because I brought a bunch of dirt in and fixed my grade in the yard and told me I had to bring all the dirt I brought in out. And I was like, dude, what are you on about? Like, you really want to go to court and waste your money on this? Like, let's go tomorrow. I'm in.
Oh, man, that's a shame. That's too bad. The same kind of thing, a house next door went up for sale and the people bought it and immediately contacted my sister here and started telling her what plants and brush, landscaping they wanted removed from our property, the edge of our property, so their kids, if they happen to chase a ball and get into the out of their property, out onto theirs, didn't get hurt or scratched up. I thought, oh, here we go.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what went wrong with these people to be so bitter. Oh, God. The phone's already ringing. I may or may not be back. NAPDM.
Okay, get here, bud.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Good morning.
A nice wet one at that.
Hey, man, pop up a wet one. Good day if you're a duck.
I'm not a duck, I'm a turtle.
Well, I get to run around down the south end all day, so I like days like this. It's different.
Are you making things better or fixing things?
It's a combination of things. I guess making things better. I don't fix things too much anymore. Unless the things are procedures or I don't know. You know what I mean.
I got it. Good morning to everyone. So, Sean, you gonna make it to our meeting tomorrow night?
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a whirl. Is Jeff gonna be virtual?
So far, that's the plan. We've got a Zoom channel set up for him, and so far, that's the way we're gonna go. I haven't heard anything different. I'm going to give him a TX later and make sure everything is good and he's happy. Thinking about maybe doing Portobello's with some of the guys if you're interested beforehand. And I'll hand it to Tom, seeing since I neglected him. And then back to Sean. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, I wasn't neglected. I'm fine. I jump in where I can. No big deal. But, so, Sean, you're off driving around on that end, and I'm going out trying to fix things on the west side. Grand Rapids and Walker today. Tomorrow, Grand Rapids.
Oh, boy. Well, the roads shouldn't be too bad for you. So... according to my car, it's 37 degrees already, so no fear of freezing. But, yeah, sounds like fun. Although, I'll tell you what, when I used to drive a lot, places were, you know, that would seem like, oh my God, it's so long, you know, to drive, they got familiar, and that made them much quicker. I'm guessing that you go out that way enough to where it's not that big a deal. Wally?
No, I have a question for Tom. If you're going out there once, why wouldn't you just stay in a hotel for the night? You know, we'll leave the lights on or something, one of them. Wouldn't that be cheaper and less fatigue, which would probably be my thing, going in the same thought lines that Sean was just saying about all that driving, Tom?
Well, there's just a couple things we got to do out there, and we'll probably be home earlier. And doing it so often, it doesn't bother me. I mean, we went up to Petoskey, did a ton of work up there, and then came down the same day. And then I get home at like 9 o'clock, had a service run in Romulus, so stopped at the house, got a quick bite to eat, took off again, took care of that. I didn't get home till maybe 2 in the morning. You know, it's almost, my body's used to it. And tomorrow we got like a wire run, so that's why that's just scheduled for tomorrow.
Where'd you go, Sean?
Give me a sec, drive through.
The drive through. Very good. So, Tom, I'm on my brand new shiny radio. It's still hooked up to my base antenna. How's my audio? Or as they say, how about a radio check?
Five, nine. And that thing does P25 and DMR?
Yeah, but right now it's analog.
Yeah, sounds pretty good. That's it's got good analog audio. I haven't, I wasn't completely convinced you had a tweak dialed in for P25, but I'll have to hear it again there.
Yeah, I think I set this up 1.5 higher, so not too bad, and I think we're in good shape that way. Other than that. Oh, you didn't answer me, Sean. You want to do Portobello's tomorrow night? Let's say about 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Yeah, we could do that. I have to clear it with the Washington office, but I don't see a problem.
Are you going to be back in time, Tom?
Going to give it a shot. You know, tomorrow always changes, but yeah, we'll see how it goes tomorrow for me. And I'll be at the meeting.
Is it okay if I go to Portillo's?
Yeah, I knew I screwed the name of the place up. Hell, I can't remember. Portillo's, Portobello. Portobello's a mushroom, right?
Correct.
Have you guys tried BJ's
yet? Now see, M3SS1. It's got to be a play on MESSI. I don't know. Who knows?
Go ahead, Mr. Tom. You talked to Sean a little bit, but I got both of you.
Been to BJ's Brewhouse yet?
I didn't quite catch that, Tom. You said something yet. Please repeat.
Oh, I said, have you tried BJ's Brewhouse yet?
That must be something out your way because I'm not familiar. So, Wally?
Isn't that right next door
to Portillo's.
Tom?
Yes, it is, and it's pretty good. Did that Valentine's Day, and for $35, you know, plus tips, I'm going to say, you know, like 40 a person, you get a nice three course with dessert.
Huh. Well, good call, because there's nothing like BJ's on Valentine's Day.
Kind of goes together. We went to Gustuppi's, whatever it was. They had a pretty good deal. A bottle of wine, two meals, appetizers, and a dessert times two, $100. And then they got me for the coffee afterwards. So I thought that was a pretty good deal. They're back to having the family back. And so if you guys are looking for some decent Italian food, not too bad priced and not a bad drive. I think it's about 22 in Gratiot on the east side of the road. Tom.
Oh, that sounds tempting in itself. Might be another place that Melissa and I might try. Or we might meet you and Marion for dinner there one day. But yeah, if you get a chance, check out the BJ's Brew House. I mean, Melissa got a lucky ducky in a bathtub, and that was pretty cool. And the bazooki dessert is really good, too.
What's a ducky in a bathtub? What kind of food in general do they sell? So, and, oh, and Wally, the name of the place at 22 and Ish and Gratiot, the Italian. I missed the name in all the ruckus.
Tom, go ahead. I'm going to look it up so I get it right, because they don't pay much attention to the names, i.e. Portobello's. I'll be right back. WVD.
BJ's Brew House. We got very good prime rib, baked potato, grilled asparagus, the soup, the broccoli cheese soup actually has cheese in it, and then the pizzuki is like a hot cookie with ice cream and chocolate saucer, caramel all over it. It's really good, but they have burgers and pizza, things like that.
American fare?
Yes, American fare, and they even have ribs. So you can get bacon ribs, you can get prime rib and ribs, you can get, I think, shrimp and ribs. But it's a nice variety. And it's a little bit more high dollar amount, but it was really good. It was well worth it. I paid, what, $100? And then I had a coupon for $25 off, so I made it like $75, but then I turned around and gave her a big old tip. So, $100.
Just got the Giuseppe's text.
Yeah, I sent it to both of you guys and the menu. I know Sean likes to grab and go when they do that too, so I figured I'd send you the link, and then, you know, like, if you wanted to bring something home, you do that too, because it would be kind of a pain in the butt. And there is work. I'll be back. WAVD.
Okay, yeah, I'm pretty sure I've been to this place. It was pretty good. It's been a while, though. Tom?
Yeah, I'm going to check that link out and send it to Melissa. I think she'll like something like that.
If I weren't driving, I could zoom in on it and see if it's the place we went to, but I'm pretty sure it's, we went there before. So, been a quite a while, actually, because that was with Lou. Lou's been gone for a number of years, so. All right, anyhow, I'm thinking timelines out. Where are you at now? Which repeat are you on, Tom?
Sitting on the Richmond repeater, and I just passed APAC Road over here on 69, so like Imlay City area.
Roger, so you'll just rip that out to 96 where it intersects with 96 and then run that up the rest of the way, obviously.
Yeah, I'll rip through 69 here and then west of Lansing it turns into 96 and then, or it turns into 6, one of the two. And then I got to go to 28th Street over by the airport. Got to go to Thimble Bridge. I enter.
Connected to CMN Network.
You back, Wally? Maybe not. All right. Well, you can get peanuts if you want. Haven't been there in a while. And I don't think our next meeting is going to be there. I think our next meeting is going to be in Muskegon. We have an event there that we generally schedule the meeting to coincide with. So maybe, and that's coming up in a week or so here, so not terribly long. And then it'll be 2 more months, and then I'll be back in Lansing. So I may not be back in Lansing for a couple of months.
Oh, did you run out of peanuts?
Oh, I've been long out of peanuts. I was just curious if you were going to stop that on your way through.
Oh, that might be a possibility. We'll see what time we get done today before we head back east. Maybe I'll mention to them also, hey, peanut shop, Lansing, and E4 because we all like the variety they got there.
All right, Tom, my stop is straight ahead. I'm going to get parked and make my way inside. Got a hour or so. I want to monkey with something here. Then I got to run to my next stop, which is a couple miles down the road, but I am, boy, the car there was a little confusing. Anyhow, I am here. After yours, W8FU. End a rope there. So, all right, later. W8FU.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
W8FU. Well, where's lunch?
Well, I called my son last night and told him we're going to do lunch. I don't know where. He and I like to do funky foods. So we may do something like that. We also like a good brewery, like, so I suggested, what about Urban Rest? But I don't think Urban Rest actually has food. So maybe, what's the one right down off Main Street? But, yes, round about 11:30, 12, looking to get some sort of lunch with JR.
Okay, well, I didn't mean to, insert myself into pre-established lunch plans. Well, it's on the east side right now in St. Clair Shores, and we'll be done around 11 o'clock and heading back in that direction for a bit. So, very good. Well, do enjoy lunch with Junior.
I said it's Ash Wednesday. We're supposed to fast. No meat today.
That's not going to happen. Am I a bad boy? I think we're all Reformed Catholics here, or former Catholics here. At least two Irish boys. And I know, I think you were, Fred. I'm not sure. Or you are. I don't know.
No, I just married.
No, I am all in favor of secular empowerment, so you do you.
I don't know what we call me.
I got something to add.
Hey, Wally. Well, I know what they call me. And it usually gets me called names if I say it. Go ahead, Wally. What have you got to add?
Sean is over 59 years old, so he is exempt.
Yeah, but Don isn't.
No, Don's also a secular humanist, so I can do whatever I want
for 59. I'm not sure who gets it next. Don, WHBD.
Yeah, so I was just commenting this, so we doubled the price, and I'm a secular humanist, so I will eat whatever I want. What my doctor says I can eat. He says I should not be eating most of the stuff I do eat, so there's that.
I was going to say, if you listen to your doctor, you're not supposed to eat half of what he says anyway. Oh, foolishness.
I'm a Methodist, but I'm married a Catholic, so I'm... As she likes to put it, I follow meatless fasting Fridays better than she does.
I used to be so guilty about that. I remember every year we had, on Good Friday, we'd knock off, and that was usually the first day we'd really get out the bikes and take them someplace, come hell or high water, and, you know, we'd stop somewhere. You'd be surprised how many of these big gnarly bikers I was with, you know, would be looking for a non-meat option on the menu. I think the first time I ever really screwed up at that, I was probably in my 20s. And I don't know why it had me so captivated, because I was never really devout or, you know, and all that. But it was just ingrained in me, right? And, I was down in Mexican Town. I stopped at a place, and I got some big beef burritos. They were so good. And I remember walking out, and I was driving down the road. I went, oh, my God, it's Good Friday. And I don't think I've ever worried about it. So I've kind of sort of observed a little bit after that. But, yeah, nowadays I'm with Don. I eat what I want. If there's an almighty, I highly doubt he cares what I eat on a Friday or a Wednesday, for that matter. Wally?
I'm going to jump in real quick to jump out. Catch you guys in a bit. KABD.
Yeah, there's a bunch of exceptions here. Diabetics, pregnant, frail.
lot of exceptions. Over 59. So, I'm not pregnant, although I look like it. But, yeah, I thought that there was an age thing to that. I thought I had to add into it. Fred?
Bye, John.
Yeah, there's an age thing, and I'm diabetic and all this other stuff, so... But it's more of a... I don't know, my mother-in-law, father-in-law was... Her mother-in-law was... She was really, you know... He was a thing. So... Because, obviously, full Catholics... Michelle kind of would wean from it. She would really, like, ever... For a few years here now, it's been our... She gets me a fish on Friday, and she has a grilled cheese, so... I don't know. And she's the Catholic one, so... But I still harp at it to fish on Fridays. It's just because I really like fish, but, you know, it helps maybe remind her of what her mother and such like that, because I was always big with her mother on Fridays.
And by John, if you're still within an earshot, but the, yeah, that's really, you know, much of the dogma, you know, of any given sect is about tradition, and you know, you do something together, you know, you all do this thing together, you know, it's a bonding, you know, kind of social thing, and yeah, we did it too. You know, I still very often will get fish on Friday, but I don't, you know. But I often won't, you know, it's just, you know, a lot of places have fish specials on Friday, so, you know, you go in and go, oh, that sounds good, I'll have the, you know, I'll have the Krusty Krab today, and does that count for fish? I don't know, but anyhow, bottom line is, you know, that's when you start getting into the dogma of it all, and not really anything to do with, you know, the believing. All right, I'm just pulling up here at my next stop. I got to run inside, and I got to do a read on an ATX so I can get a archive in the works. I'll be back out here shortly. W8FU, Wally.
Very good. You guys all have a great day. I got to get back to work. I got to send out a couple estimates. Fred, you going to join us tomorrow? And other than that, I'm stepping out.
I got 8 hours left in my work day, or from 8 hours of work to get my 40 this week, so I should be able to do it. I still have so much work, I'll get it today, but that means I'll have tomorrow and Friday off, but we'll see. All right, starting my
calls. Studying
office.
Now, the kill bus against the game. Say it, baby.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KPR Tesla.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
WD8KLO.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KF8FQW, Curtis, Tuscola County. KF8FQW, Curtis, Tuscola County.
Connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot, Quebec, Whiskey, Curtis in Akron, Michigan.
KF8FQW, this is N8WRO, Macomb County. How copy? KF8FQW, KF8FQW, November 8, Whiskey, Romeo, Oscar. Nothing heard. N8WRO, clear.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. connected to CMN Network.
Sounds like somebody out there has their Vox activated on their radio and it keeps tripping. I want to check that. KFA TPZ.
N8WRO. Hey, Cliff, it seems to be coming in on the Romeo machine.
Yeah, I already spotted that one there, Tim. I was checking that out. I'm like, where is that coming from? I fire up the one monitor. Oh, no, okay, that's FBI. So let's go over to the other monitor. And yeah, sure enough, yeah, it's coming out on the Romeo repeater. It's been going on for a few little minutes here.
I wonder if it's lost its tone or something, because it almost sounds like a harmonic coming in. I don't know. It'll stop now.
Well, for now anyways. Yeah, for now anyways. But his last one, before I said anything, I got real close to my speaker and listened to it because suddenly there wasn't any static. It was a very clean carrier. And it sounded like somebody's puck radio was going in the background. So that's why I said something about it sounded like they had their Fox activated.
Yeah, Vox or a pocket PTT push when you shove it in your pocket. But all right. Sounds good. N8WRO, after you, sir.
Alrighty, I'm going to be bouncing around the house for a while anyways. So, yeah, I got the radios on. I'm, like, listening to four bands right now. But, yeah, we will. 73C, sir. KFA-DBZ. Clear monitoring.
KE4ZYQ was hearing similar things as you guys were talking about on the Mount Clements. KE4ZYQ.
Hey, Joe Cliff here. How's it going? Yeah, that's the repeater I was listening to. Whoever it was, he was coming in off the Romeo repeater. He was getting into the network that way.
FQSL that. Yeah, it was pretty noisy there for a while. Crazy. I did hear some background stuff like you explained. I was hearing it, too, and thinking, what the heck? I, you know, I'll let it go and I'll listen to it for a while and see what I could pick out. And like I said, the last one apparently is gone now. So, but the last one sounded like somebody's Vox activation. So that's why I said what I said. Just all that. Well, you know what I wish they would do, just to say something briefly, and that is I wish, even though it works on digital, I wish that if any radio transmitted on FM, you know, 2 meters, 70 centimeters, doesn't matter, each radio would put out to a repeater or another radio the ID of the radio, just like digital. You got a digital readout of call sign or whatever, even though you got to program that in. But I wouldn't mind it if every radio that got keyed up would be able to be identified per repeater or other radios. That would be ideal. But anyhow, just an idea. KE4ZYQ. That is definitely one of the nice features of DMR, is that radio IDs come up. And you can get a pretty good idea of who's doing what when something's going wrong, and you can help them out, help them straighten it out.
USL, that, I hear you. I'm not into that because I don't have the bucks or the time or the opportunity due to other necessities. I just ate lunch, matter of fact, a few minutes ago because I was way late by a few phone calls I had to take. So I understand. But good talking, and good luck on the repeaters, whoever maintains, checks, keeps them running. Thanks from me personally. KE4CYQ.
Alrighty, Joe, we'll catch you later. I'm going to go back to puttering around and listening to, like, four different bands at once. KF8DBZ, clear and monitoring.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Hey, teammate, small.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
One thing I learned about being that busy during the day is two things make the day go by. You know,
a lot of times I'd get that busy kind of thing, and people would have to remind me, hey, it's lunchtime, then they got real quiet, and the shot called me, you know. And next thing you know, it's time to go home, they boot me out of there.
That's a fact. Today flew by, and I don't feel like I got enough done, so pick up where I left off tomorrow. But yeah, it's definitely better than sitting there twiddling your thumbs.
Oh, you bet. When I was a pipe fitter building the done by the end of the day, I was kind of pissed, you know. And so I thought, okay, tomorrow I'll just have to work a little harder.
Yeah, I like going home and feeling accomplished, but today was not the case. It seems like every time I turned around or started one task, I got, you know, someone else asking for something else, and something else breaking, and it was like, Jesus, man, I'm never going to get ahead. Phone call after phone call, but I'm definitely glad to be heading home. And I don't know where you're at, but that last copy was a little rough. He cleaned up in the end, and he started out okay, but then the middle of that was pretty bad.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm on the porch with a handheld again, and I keep forgetting if I move a little bit one way or another, I can sometimes disappear, apparently.
Well, that one was very good.
Yeah, I got to remember not to do a lot of moving around when I'm talking. you know, at my age, having to remember things is quite the chore.
How old are you, Rick? And are you still in that 168?
Yeah, I'm 72. No, I'm on the 878 now.
Aw, you still got plenty of memory left in you.
Yeah, I really haven't been using the 168 a whole lot. It's the little brother of the 878, but I'm not that awful thrilled with it. And the 878 has become my favorite handheld, anyway.
I do like the 878 so much that I've bought it a handful of times after selling it and never really use it, but it's a... If you want a one-stop shop radio, I don't think really a better option. You know, that is unless you don't want a digital mode. But I'm bummed because I bought it at $350, and then like 2 months later they slashed the price to like $199 or $250. $250 is what it's at now. And I was like, man, I'm never gonna get my money back out of this thing. So I just elected to keep it. There's that guy, I forgot where he's out of. I think he's out of Michigan. He makes the the call sign stickers for the charging base and the radio, I got those on. I'm like, you know what, screw it. I've already sold this radio enough, I'm just going to keep it. That way, if I want to play DMR, I can play DMR. But I'm looking forward to being able to use an HT and go through RF pretty soon. You know, HTs have never been conducive for me, unfortunately, unless I'm on a hotspot or a node. And I've looked at that 168 a handful of times. It's a nice little radio, but I don't know, something, I just, it doesn't do it for me. I don't know what it is.
Dakota, you're killing me. Same thing, I paid $350 for my 878. Hearing that down that low is killing me, because I spent another $200 for the 168. Another 878, that's just not right, you know what I mean?
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I bought my THD-75 right when it came out. I can't remember if it was a pre-order or not, but I bought it as soon as I physically could. And I paid for Gigaparts to Mars mod it, because I'm like, this is an expensive radio, I don't want to take it apart, whatever, done deal, pay them. I don't know, like $80. So all said and done, it was like $800 for that radio. and then I just saw it the other day. It was $5.99 on sale. I was like, oh my God.
Must have been going through the swamp there, because I only got little bits and pieces of that. You must be getting close to home already.
Long and short of it, you know, that thing is not really a kayak, it was more of a mini boat, and
thing looked like it was pretty stable. I had a canoe for a while, and I'd get out into the state game area there, and I was out there in November just before the freeze-up with felt packs on and a ton of clothes, and I come close to losing the kayak, all my tackle, and my life one time, and I said, nope, that's it, I'm done with canoes.
You know, the only time I've gone in the water was in a canoe, never once in a kayak, and that kayak, and I've had a couple others stand on. I would stand and cast with a bait caster, and that one I would stand and run the trolling motor with the remote. I never had any problems, but it seems like every time I get in a canoe, that thing ends up upside down.
Yeah, I barely stayed out of the lake. I caught a rainbow. The DNR had stacked a bunch of rainbows in the lakes in Lapeer State Game Area, so I went out there, and there were no houses around, no people around, no nobody around kind of thing. And I got a rainbow, and you know how them things are. They just don't give up. And I swung it into the boat. I didn't have a net. It hit my tackle box, this great big Umpqua possum belly, and started flipping and flinging tackle all over the place and flopping around the boat, and I'm grabbing at that thing, and it started to go over the side, and I went to grab that thing and tipped it, and the water started coming in the side, and I don't know how, but I managed to jump back to the other side quick enough to where I didn't end up going all the way over, but I got about a third of the canoe full of water there, and that cured me of canoes.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a pucker factor when you see that much water inside your canoe. But that's kind of where I'm at, too. It's not a good-sized boat with good gunnels. I'm really not doing anything there. But on that note, I am home. I'm going to pull in here and probably get nice and noisy. So I will probably catch you in the morning. And hopefully not get interrupted by any more phone calls. 7-3, have a good night, Rick. I'll catch you later. N8, BBF. Have yours.
Okay, young man, have a good one there. Always good to catch up with you and talk to you. Have a good one there and a safe one, and we'll catch you later. KE8WOJ.
WSLQ 986 from WRCY 565. Do you have a copy?
Connected to CMN Network.
KF8AYL.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KF80WL.
connected to CMN Network.
KKO.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KFADYL.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Fade well.
KC8KJO. KC8KJO. NAWBZR. KC8KJO, KC8KJO, NABZR.
KC8WNI, KC8WNI, this is KC8SBV. How are you doing, Jonathan?
KC8WNI, this is KC8SBV. How do you copy?
KC8SBV, I copy you loud and clear. You're sounding very good. How might I get into this?
Well, you're down on the noise, but still legible.
All right, I just boosted the max power on this. I got here. Is that sounding better?
Yep. Find a good place to stand and it will probably work.
All right, well, I'm by the window now. How are you doing tonight? You're sounding really good. I feel like the last time we used this repeater, it was kind of hard to copy you.
Well, okay. And you're sounding better now that you're near the window. So, yeah, things are going pretty good here.
That's good. Are you on your FT-70D?
On the 706, yeah. I think the antenna's on its side, but it still puts out pretty well.
This is the antenna up in the attic, right? I remember you saying you had an issue with that one and just never really got around to getting that corrected, but whatever it's doing, it's working.
Yeah, that's the one. How are things with work?
Oh, they're pretty good. It's weird, even though I work on batteries, I didn't touch batteries at all yesterday or today, and then had a lot of, meeting stuff I had to deal with and helping the boss plan some of our next steps for the move where I moved from Pontiac over to Warren, so I'm working on some of that kind of stuff. trying to locate some hardware for some of our communication equipment, things like that. So just busy work, but a little different, so that's kind of good. What about you? Are you getting out, getting your steps put in still?
Yeah, touch and go there. I try to get out, but, man, there's so much to do, you know. Some days I do and some days I don't. I really do need to get out and do that more. Bought the wife a D&D starter kit. We're going to be playing with that. She is quite happy with it.
84ZYQ.
Yeah, go ahead, KE4ZYQ. This is KC8SPV, and I'm KC8W19.
This is KE4ZYQ, Joe in Clinton Township. I was just scanning the bands. I didn't know if you guys had a question or anything. I heard attic antenna, and I'm one of the few that does have an attic antenna, and I didn't know if you had any questions or anything about it or if that was the subject matter. Just curious, not to interrupt you too long. The name is Joe Juliet Oscar Echo, 4CYQ.
No, I've got an antenna in the attic. It was hanging by fishing line, but the fishing line gave way and it fell, and I haven't been up in the attic in years and need to get up and correct that. But other than that, it still seems to get out. KE4ZYQ, Joe, this is Ed, KC8SPV.
Hey Ed, well, I'm sorry to hear about your line dropping there. I didn't know if you had a vertical dual band antenna up there, because that's what I'm running right now, getting into this repeater. This system, link system, is a Comet GP3 vertical dual band antenna, mounted on a PVC pipe, bolted to the floor with some good Belden 9913 coax. If you want to see what it looks like, go to QRZ. Look up KE4ZYQ. But I'll let you guys get back to it. I didn't want to interrupt you long. I just thought maybe you had a comment or a question or something about attic antenna. I just heard that. So there you go. And another gentleman, thank you there. Another gentleman, go ahead and take it. I'll listen out. KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, sounds good, Joe. Nice to talk to you. This is John. My call sign's KC8WNI. Ed, KC8SPV is my father, so we're just chit-chatting a little bit here. Coincidentally, I also have an attic antenna of sorts. I have a roll-up J-pole that I have just kind of hanging from the attic. But it's in my garage. My garage has like a crawl space type of thing, so just to get a little bit of height on it, I just have it hanging in my garage. But, yeah, that's my excitement for attic antennas. Back over to KC8SPV.
Yeah, I think what I put on mine, I can't think. I just had it in my head. It's not Belden, but it's a good quality coax, and it runs up to my second floor, so it's not losing too much going up there, I know that, but it's the best I can do for now. KE4ZYQ, go ahead. This is KC8SPV.
You're probably thinking of LMR 400, but I'll let you guys get back to talking, and nice that father-son gets together on the same hobby and talks every now and then if you're not in the same house, obviously, because if you are, we'd think odd about you two talking on radio to each other in the same house, right? Hi, just joking. I know you don't, but yeah, but I'll let you go. I don't want to interrupt your QSO there. You guys had limited time and evening hours or whatever, so good talking. Thank you. Good luck. Yeah, I just wondered if it goes back around, if it was LMR 400 you're thinking of, because I have the Belden 9913. It's a semi-flexible coax as opposed to LMR 400, which is pretty rigid. Hard to turn corners. That's why I got the other one. And it was a little less expensive at the time I bought it. So 7-3 for now. I'll listen out briefly. KE4ZYQ.
Thank you.
It does me pretty good. I got an ICOM 706, and it's putting out 50 watts. I don't know how much gets up to the top, but it does a good job. So, anyway, KC8WNI, over to you, KC8SBV.
Yeah, you've had this thing up there for a while, too, and even if it's laying on the ground, it's still doing pretty good as far as I'm concerned. The audio's pretty good on that 706 you got. I think the last time we talked, you were on an HP, right?
Yeah, the last time was on that Yaesu FT70D that we got at Christmas. Yeah, that was working. I was upstairs near the front door, so it was getting through the house and out to the repeater then, and I thought we were full quieting then. It was working gangbusters then.
Yeah, if I remember right, it was working pretty good back then. I tried using mine initially, and apparently I couldn't get over the noise floor. It sounded like I was getting in the repeater because I was getting the feedback beat, but the battery's dead on the Yaesu, so right now I'm on the Radiata UGA-168, that little BMR radio I got.
You got about 10 watts on that thing? Yeah, you can't beat that.
Connected to CMN Network.
No, the 10-watt HT is, that was not DMR. That's the Radiata EGA-510. But the one I'm on now is just 5 watts. I think it's got like 1 watt, 3 watts, and 5 watts for power. So I'm running all 5 watts right now. So sounds like it, apparently it's working pretty good. So I can switch to the 10 watts to see what it can do if you want.
Well, I think you're into the repeater just fine, you know. I don't think you need to push it. Maybe I'll drop mine a bit.
So it sounds like Mom's keeping you busy over there, huh? So much for retirement, getting time back, huh?
Yeah, that's a crazy thing. I'm playing Mr. Mom most of the time, doing chores and helping her out, but you know, I got her that D&D set. We'll see how that goes, and maybe we'll have some fun with it, but she was pretty happy with it. A late birthday gift, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought she'd be into that too much. I know she, you know, kind of was exposed to it when Mark and Daniel were playing it and stuff, but she's been able to play any games with Daniel, at least, while he's around. He's doing DoorDash now, isn't he?
Yeah, Daniel's doing his best to earn money, you know. When the unemployment route rolled out, ended, you know, he took advantage of it as best he could, but there's, you know, it only goes like 26 weeks or so. That's, what, half a year? That's not bad, but he had to get serious when that ended. It's not paying the bills anymore.
So is the DoorDash doing any good for him then, or is it just kind of like, you know, he drives a truck, so I can't imagine he's doing really good on fuel while still delivering DoorDash?
Well, you know, that's the thing. He goes out and he's lucky if he makes $100. And he's taking in cans, and for a couple hours he can get $50. I think it'd be better if he just turned in cans, but I think, you know, if he spent 4 hours doing cans, he'd get $100 and spend less time doing it than he would in DoorDash.
Yeah, I mean, he could always do what Mark did, is just get a, you know, a job at one of the parts stores around and just deliver parts. I mean, that, they at least put you in one of their cars and you don't use your gas. I mean, that's a plus.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. Mark got him a job that he actually likes doing. I would never have thought that, but I'm glad he's doing something with himself.
So isn't Mark still working the parts counter at O'Reilly's, or is he, did he move up to his corporate job now that he's that he got his college degree?
I haven't heard one way or the other, you know. I know he got his degree, and he, I guess he could try. I don't know if he has tried yet.
I gotcha. I sent him a link to the, or I sent Daniel a link to a job posting at GM, but I don't know if he ever did anything with that. I thought he should apply. It was like a Java, they call it a software engineer job. So, but it was a, but it involved using Java, which was, I thought, the primary language Daniel was using.
He was pretty disgusted today. He had a job where he knew the stuff, and you know had the experience with it, but they wanted somebody who was working in it. And he's been laid off for a year. Can't, you know, they just wouldn't take him. I don't know what in the world's going on with this world. You know, won't give a guy a break.
Yeah, that's the thing of it. Like, they always say they want, you know, so many years of experience, but then they'll never hire a guy without experience, which means you're stuck in an endless loop of wanting experience, but then you can't hire it because you're not giving the experience. So it's pretty crazy. But well, hopefully something turns up for him soon. DoorDash is probably going to wear out pretty quick on him, I'm sure.
And the trouble with DoorDash is, you need to work it. I mean, you need to know where to do your DoorDash and to where to make money. And he's getting that figured out. But there's some times that it's all full and he can't do it the way he wants to. So, you know, it's not a easy, like, eight-hour job. You can only do what you can do.
WNI. Yeah, that, I mean, yeah, that's tough. Hopefully get something that turns up pretty soon. But, changing gears a little bit, though, your audio on your 706 is pretty good. Just, after you had that radio reworked, have you really used FM since then, or you pretty much only use it for data?
You know, I can't hardly get down here before 9 o'clock in the day, you know. Well, we're down here before that, but most of the time I'm busy with dinner and stuff, you know. I don't make the nets very often.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay. You play with that digi rig much since you got it?
You know what I need to do is get that antenna going. That's the thing. The orders, we're going to order some 200 feet of wire and replace the whole thing and get it over top of the pussy willow instead of going around the backside. That's going to have to be the thing. And then I'm hoping that FT8 will work better.
Yeah, I kind of forgot your HF antenna was giving you issues. You want me to come over and help you string the wire, or what? What's your plan for doing that?
Well, one of these weekends, you know, when it's warm out. Yeah, I want to get a fishing pole and pitch the line over top of the tree, and then pull my wire back over that. I think that's a pretty straightforward, and I can get that done. I can get it connected on the other side, and I can make it work. But any help I can get, I'll take. You know how that goes. Just a moral help more than anything.
So you're not going to ask me to come stand in the snow and throw wires up in trees like I did you? I tell you, mine works pretty good, though.
Yeah, we had fun doing that too. That was a blast. You know, we got that thing up and hooked up, and suddenly you're making contacts all over the world. What a crazy thing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy what, and granted, I'm still studying for my general, but even on 10 meter, it's still crazy how, what I can do with that little G90 and a wire thrown through a tree. Pretty cool what that thing will do.
Hey, have you heard back on the TS-830?
No, but I was thinking about emailing that guy today and see if he's had a chance to talk with those folks yet. I assume not. He mentioned he put me down in his key log or whatever. However kind of note-taking he does on that. But anyway, he said he got a note down with my name on it, and it's still listed on the website, so I'm assuming he hasn't made any effort to get that radio moved, but I was thinking about reaching out to him again today.
Yeah, you may get that thing for $150. That would be totally amazing. Totally amazing. You still have, even if it does need some restoration, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. I'd love to get my hands on it, but just need to... Yeah, the last time I talked to him was January. I heard from him last on January 23rd, so it's been almost a month now, so I figure it's probably about time to send another email to Pester.
Okay, I'm going to say 73. I think I've had enough here. anything else? KCAWNI, this is KC8SBV.
I think I'm pretty much all set. Good to hear you on the radio again. I have to see if you can get your 70D plugged into your antenna, and we can try C4FM again. Try that again another day. But anyhow, 73, this is KCAWNI. Tell Mom I said hi, and I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, Jonathan, KC8WNI, this is KC8SBV. We will talk to you later. 73.
KF8FQW, radio check.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KF8FQW, this is KF8DDZ. I read you 5x9. You're coming loud and clear through the network.
Copy that. Thank you very much. This is KF8FQW, transmitting out of Tuscola County. Clear.
You're welcome at any time. 73 and all the other good numbers here have good evening, sir. KF8.
KF8AYL.
Connected to CMN Network.
KF8AYL.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KF8AYL.
Currently connected to CMN Network. connected to CMN Network.